Welcome to the Massage Life Podcast. I'm Jordan Pearson. I'm a chartered professional accountant, and I'm here with my wonderful wife, Melissa, who's a registered massage therapist. And we have a guest with us today. So we have Kelly from Breakthrough Massage Academy. So excited to have you on the podcast today, Kelly.
Thank you. Before
we get into it, why don't you just start by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about Breakthrough Massage Academy?
Okay, awesome. Thanks, Jordan. Thanks, Melissa, for having me on today, guys.
Yeah.
Like I said, my name is Kelly Cabrera. I have been an RMT for over a decade now. This past summer has been 13 years, and I have moved kind of into Breakthrough Massage Academy, which I just opened last summer. So July, I'm officially celebrating my 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
Doing that.
Congrats. That's awesome.
Like, yes, thank you. But I really didn't get started with CEU classes or anything like that until about January of this year. But basically with Breakthrough Massage Academy, when you're going through and being able to treat people one-on-one, you get such a satisfaction of like helping a client one-on-one as an RMT. I really liked that idea of being able to help other RMTs impact their clients as well. And I do have a background in training and education. So I was actually practicum instructor at the Lethbridge College for a year in 2016. And I do take on the main education and training for the staff at the clinic that we run as well. So I love to teach. So I just felt like it was kind of a natural path for me to kind of move into something a little bit larger scale where I can help more groups of people teach or learn, I guess, through my teaching. But yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool. And is it mostly online courses that you're doing, or are you doing some in-person trainings as well?
I do online and I do in-person. So I have done quite a few modality trainings in-person. I do have a raindrop massage course that I do teach both as an online and an in-person course. And then Hot Stones. So Hot Stones has been a lot more popular in-person. That was kind of a funny one to navigate with. But it's definitely been a lot of fun being able to do that. And it's not just modality stuff. I do a lot of things one-on-one with therapists to help them with their treatment planning, understanding why clients may not be coming back, maybe where there's a hole with their treatment planning and they're not seeing a good succession of, you know, a client utilizing their services or understanding why they would want to try massage a few extra times after like the first initial appointment, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have a client come in, you're like, trying to get them a little bit educated, the confidence in the massage therapist and being able to help relay that really easily to somebody is a whole huge part of actually treatment planning and helping a client along the way. So oftentimes, like confidence is a huge issue, and that's actually one of my favorite topics to help the massage therapist in. And then I do a lot of business stuff as well. So that's kind of been like my fun background. I hated it. Business. And now it's funny that I love to actually help teach it, but I think you know, I've just had like a lot more time kind of building into that role, understanding a little bit more, and yeah, now it's like it's so important, because if you don't have that foundation, it's just incredible. And I don't teach accounting, so don't worry, Jordan. Like, I don't
take that from you, Jordan. No.
Just a strong advocate for having a good P&L and understanding your cash flow and all that stuff. So, but massage school doesn't have time to teach us all those things, right? They teach us how to be great massage therapists and skill-based. And there's a whole realm of things outside of that. When it comes to running a business by yourself or even having a team of other therapists, even if they're just independent contractors or room renters, like you have to learn to deal with and work with personalities. And that's actually one of the other fun things that I love to teach massage therapists about, is like working with other personalities to make the workplace a great place. So
and have you always worked in a clinical setting, or what's your background as far as like working for yourself or working in like a multidisciplinary clinic, or what's kind of your story like from when you graduated to now?
Good question. I feel like it's really changed. And like every year has been different, but essentially when I first graduated in 2010, I didn't have a clear view of where I wanted to work. I knew I just wanted to get into the field. So in the beginning, I actually started just room renting from a chiropractic clinic. Actually, it was the chiropractor that I was going to see at the time. And it was kind of on a whim. Like, I didn't really shop around too much. They had a room. I needed a job.
And
like where I landed. And then it was like that I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on the show, but I'm like, oh, oh crap, or like that oh shit moment. Because then you're like locked into a rent, right? Yeah. You're locked into a contract for at least 12 months. I'm like, I don't think I really thought this through, right? I just wanted to get started. So I was by myself there for about 2.5 years, moved to a different location with a bit of a cheaper rent. And then at about that time, that was about my fourth year in, just working by myself for renting. And my husband and I were kind of, you know, thinking about like long-term things, thinking about like family, thinking about maybe getting married, you know, that kind of thing. And I always thought like, you know, if I wanted to maybe have an easier time or more of a sustainable time to have a family, maybe just one-on-one by myself in such a lonesome atmosphere probably wasn't the best. And then so from there, I actually went to the space that was next door to where I was renting. So I was out of a hair salon at the time, and they had an empty bay beside us. It was like where the city of Lethbridge used to do their parking meter repairs. So it was a total garage in the back, and it only had one terrible office in the front, and the heating sucked, and there was it was so bad.
Wait, so this is where you were doing massage? Like,
this is where I was about garage? To move in to do more okay. massage. Yes. So I was in the nicer hair salon next door, mm-hmm. and my rent was cheap. It was only like $500 a month or something like that. So I thought, hey, you know what? Like, I think I can do this. I'm just gonna look at this bay next door. It's for lease, and without even like really telling anybody, I signed the lease for this empty garage bay. And then I took my husband for the walkthrough at the time. He was like, I swear, like, if his jaw could have hit the floor, probably would have.
He's like, I'm out. I'm out.
No, he was like, you did this without letting, like, at least, like, consult. Not that I had to consult him, but he was like, you did this without, like, you know, letting me know you were going to do this or bringing me right. by to see it or, like, a second right. opinion, I guess, is what I mean.
Right.
But it was terrible. And I was like, yeah. And I was so happy. And then the real work came because then like there was only one office and it was 1300 square feet. So what we did was we gutted the ugly carpet and all this stuff in the front. I like enlisted the help of my dad and a few other tradespeople that I knew. So thankfully all these people like took pity on me when I had them come and see the space that I was at. And uh-huh. a lot of them helped me for very cheap or free. So like we repainted the entire thing. My contractor friend, he helped us build out a couple of extra rooms, you know, redid like the heating in there so that we could actually have it heated in the winter time. You know, that type of thing. The things that I could do myself with my dad to save money, we did together. So like we picked out the, you know, the flooring or the laminate from Home Depot. And then my dad like cut and I laid the laminate and or helped him lay the laminate down. And we just redid the flooring and basically the entire space except for a bit of the back and repainted the entire thing. And this thing had like wonky ceilings. It was like up to like 16 foot ceilings. And my dad was like, you did this and what? You want me to help you?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, this is no problem. But like, I'm only 5 feet. So like, I'm clearly not the one that's going to be standing on a ladder to like reach and paint. And so it turned out really good because now since we have left, it is still a massage location for another business that has been taken over.
Okay.
So I'm really happy that that place still has some life.
Yeah.
But man, like it was a lot in the beginning. So my rent went from $500 to $1,500 a month, but I had the basis of 4 treatment rooms plus like a reception. So that was kind of like starting to mold into the idea of having more assistants, like more people working underneath me or with me. And I just had them as independent contractors and it was working out really well from there for a little bit until I realized that like it was basically impossible for me to continue the idea that I was going to massage and still do 25 to 28 clients a week, like work beyond full time basically. And then I was getting like, you know, questions about, hey, how do we do this? And how do we do that? Because like I had enlisted these independent contractors, but I was like, oh yeah, like everyone needs to be on the same page to understand how to do direct billing. Cause ultimately it comes through like my clinic name, but then I got to split the checks and figure it out. And then that's where like the involvement of more of the business stuff came in. Because it's not enough of like what they have time to teach us in school. And I'm sure like I took the program like starting at 15 years ago. So I'm sure it's very well adapted now beyond those years to include more stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even like for like accounting, like we learned simply accounting step by step. Here's your booklet, and from like step one to step 40, as long as you completed steps one to step 40 and built out this like fake business, that was like our accounting. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, like is that really what accounting is? Clearly not. Like, I have so much respect for your job. But yeah, so just more education on that was definitely what I needed. So from then, I actually started business coaching. So that was year six, I think, is when I had like been into my career. I finally quit my second job that was actually paying for the roommate that I had. And it was just a whole other thing, right? Like trying to finance your dream is like, yeah, that's a whole nother endeavor.
Wait, so you had another job going on at the same time while you were running this business?
Yeah. So essentially when I was in school, I was working at Safeway at the grocery store.
Okay.
And then when I started room renting at the chiropractic clinic, I kept that job.
Wow.
And what it ended up doing was when I was slow at my chiropractic clinic, was essentially like the first year and a half, my full-time Safeway job funded the room rent for my massage rent.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, I essentially like I lived with my parents. I'd never been more broken all of my life than in those first couple of years.
Yeah.
And then once I kind of like, you know, year three was like, kind of got a little bit more of a grip, you know, clientele, word of mouth was picking up, was getting a bit better. But like, oh man, I have to say, like these guys that are working now, or I don't know, Melissa, if you find this, but like, man, like social media really has escalated the amount of engagement and the amount of word of mouth and the amount of clientele that you can get like that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not that it's so instantaneous that I can like snap my fingers and like get lots of clients, right? Mm-hmm. But like, just being able to have people find out about you is so much easier.
Yeah.
Like I was like printing off flyers. I was like going to the schools. I was asking to hand things at the office, and I'm like 21, 22. And I have like zero confidence. I have like completely don't know what I'm doing. Right. And I'm just totally marketing the wrong clients and like looking in all the places that I thought would be good or what school thought would be good. And like, they were not my ideal person that I was hunting down. So that took a long time. But yeah, so essentially once that second location that I had kind of started getting going, then I felt comfortable enough where I was like, I really need to just like say goodbye to this job that was supporting me and then go all in on my massage and see what happens from there. And then like doing the business coaching and stuff definitely helped because I just held on to that right away. Yeah, it was good. So we were there I'll go ahead.
Sorry, Kelly, I would give yourself a little bit more credit. You know, you say you don't have a lot of confidence, but it sounds like you at least have a lot of grit. You know, here you are printing flyers, trying to do what you can to find business. And so, you know, from my perspective, it sounds like you have, you know, a tremendous amount of confidence or, you know, at least persistence. And I think that's played well in why you've been so successful at what you do now is, you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, when they face difficult challenges, they give up immediately. And I think in the massage profession, it takes time to build a practice, right? And we've seen that with Melissa. You know, it was frustrating it was kind of frustrating for me early on when Melissa graduated from school and she was working at different clinics. She wasn't making a ton of money, right? A, you're giving a portion of it to the clinic, right? So you have 40% coming off the top. But then she was working in some slower areas and she just wasn't really, you know, building a clientele. But it wasn't until she actually ventured out on her own. And even then, it still took you, you know, a year or two before you finally had an established business and started to do really well. And so I think a lot of people, when they start a business, they expect that, okay, it's going to happen right away. Success is going to come overnight. But that's not the case. You have to have grit, you have to be persistent, and you have to be patient. And at the same time, educate yourself, right? I think the fact that you reached out to a business coach is just awesome, right? Because if you don't have that skill set, you have to learn it somehow, right? Anyways.
Yeah.
I think definitely. Like the classic phrase, fake it till you make it is helpful too, right? Like sometimes we deep down, we don't want to do these things, but then we know that it'll help our business grow. And so you just have to put on that fake smile and just go for it. And that really helps. So even though we don't want to.
It's funny that you say that because then, you know, like to put it really bluntly, like I was really suffering on the inside when I was like doing this, but I had like kept, I was like, no, I know at some point it's going to work. And I don't know, like, I think maybe, yeah, like grit, but maybe also like a bit of, not stubbornness, but like I don't like to fail, but I don't like to fail other people. Like I don't like to fail, yeah, I just don't like to fail other people, which I think I make it really hard on myself sometimes. Right. So maybe that was more my motivator of anything. It was just like I was scared not to do a good job because then in the eyes of somebody else, I couldn't do it. I couldn't make it, right? So that really was hard because then people would say like, oh wow, like how are you doing? Everything looks so great. And I'd be like, yeah, it's really great. When like I knew it was totally like it was a total farce. Like it was a total lie, right? Like you just want to say like, you know, actually this is horrible. I don't eat, I don't sleep, I work 14 hours a day. And on like within those 14 hours, I'm still doing my clients. I'm still trying to figure out when the heck I'm gonna shower and like, you know, and it's just it's a lot, right? It's a lot to take on. So I think when they say kind of expect when you're building your clientele, that it could probably take up between 3 and 5 years. Like I feel like that's a fairly accurate statement. And it could be less or it could be a little bit less, but it really depends on where you're at. It really depends on your location. And it really depends on like how well somebody can easily find out about you, learn about you, and also like what you're able to provide as an energy to give back into that too. Because if you're working in a place that's basically like, you know, flooded with people and inundated with clients all the time. But like, if you don't have that energy as a therapist to really step up and be like, hey, what are they looking for out of me? What can I do in my job? And how do I make myself stand out to them? They're just going to see you as like another just massage, right? And then they're going to move on to some other therapist who they're looking for that connection with. So kind of like a little secret sauce almost. Like you kind of have to take a little bit from like your personality, but a little bit of your massage technique, and then just kind of like a little bit of like just lead with your heart more so, right? And then hope, you know, then you kind of find clients, your people along the way. But yeah, so then I was after that, we kind of just kept expanding and getting a bit bigger. So now in all of those years, the clinic that started out with four independent contractors, now we are the largest clinic in Lethbridge. We have the biggest massage team, and everyone is actually employed. So essentially, my entire dream of how it morphed was we want to be somewhere that I wish I would have had the ability to work at when I was first out of school.
I like
You
that
know, as
perspective.
far as yeah, like as far as like scheduling, fairness, pay, the way that like you're viewed as a person, management, you know, just really finding out that like you're cared for. If you have stuff going on outside of work, it's okay to have stuff going on outside of work, right? Like as a business owner, when you're, especially when you're by yourself, when you have stuff come up, it's so hard to be able to say, no, I got to put life on hold so I can deal with my stuff. You can do that, but like you can only do that for so long before you start like pissing clients off or you start losing clients or you start losing money, which is also like a really big thing, right? You're on your own. And when we're doing massages, we're essentially selling like not only just a service, but like our time is money. Literally, we're just exchanging time for funds, right? So if we're not putting in the time, we're not collecting on that monetary value. So it's really, really hard. So yeah, we essentially just have kind of worked towards that. So now I can kind of see it as like both sides, being somebody who like either worked for somebody who was like kind of just on their own, and then now somebody who has staff. And like one of the things with Breakthrough Massage Academy is I love working with two types of clients. Like I don't have an ideal one type. The two types are I love working with people like how I used to be. Small business owner, maybe just one person, or maybe has a few independent contractors, like a small team, and you're just really struggling for some direction or how to figure out to kind of make your dream work with you and work for you instead of having to work in your dream and work under your dream. You know what I mean? And then as well as like if you have a larger team, let's get you understanding what it is that your team actually needs from you and what they really care about. Because if you know what they care about and what they need, they're going to stay with you a heck of a lot longer and they're going to love where they work. So, yeah.
And I like that concept of like, if you take care of your people, they'll take care of their clients, right? And I think
100%.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting listening to you talk about, you know, operating a clinic, and you're doing all these different things to make it ideal for a lot of people, you know, enjoyable. Like you've tried to create a space where therapists want to work for you, right? Like that seems to be one of the main goals. And it sounds like there are a lot of therapists who are frustrated because they're not getting that. And a lot of them are venturing out on their own, right? They're either choosing to work from home, or they're choosing to do mobile massage, which is what Melissa did. Not that you were frustrated with where you worked.
There are things I was frustrated
about.
But yeah, a lot of people are just throwing in the towel, like giving up on it.
Right. And so we've kind of, you know, looking at the success that Melissa's had with her business, we've kind of been pushing people to do that, right? To, you know, hey, if you're not happy, go and venture out on your own and see if you can make it work for yourself. Because I think that there are a lot of therapists that can make a lot more money if they just did that, right? If they just did mobile massage. It almost is like we're working against one another, because you're trying to create a space where therapists are going to want to work, right? But at the same time, we're telling them, hey, if you're frustrated with the clinic that you're working at, like, just go and work for yourself and do it on your own. And you know, I think there's kind of a,
but that's kind of our bias, right? Because that's worked well for me. So, you know, it's been fun for me, and I've been able to build up a successful practice, but that's not the case for everybody. And so I do need to kind of check my bias and say, well, is that appropriate for everybody? Is that going to work for everyone? And so, yeah, I think an interesting question is like, what can therapists do to make sure that they're in a place that is successful for them? If they want to stay in a clinic, if that's working for them, like that's what they want to do, or working for themselves isn't the ideal.
Right.
Then what kind of things do they want to look for when they're working in a clinic?
Well, what I think what I would be interested to know from you, Kelly, is what are you doing that other clinics aren't doing?
Yeah.
Right. Like why we in the business world, we talk about having a competitive advantage, right? Like what's the thing that separates my business from everyone else? Right. And often, all too often as business owners, we just focus on our competitive advantage from the perspective of, okay, what am I going to do better than all these other clinics with respect to treating my clients, right? Because they're the customers. That's the source of my income, is these customers that come to my clinic. But you've kind of taken this different approach. I want to create this competitive advantage where I want to have therapists that want to work for me, right? They don't want to go work for anybody else, because this is the place to be, right? And so I'd be interested to kind of pick your brain, like what is it that you're doing that sets you apart from these other clinics? Right, like what makes you the best, right? Because if you're the largest in that, right, like you're obviously doing something right. So
good question. Okay, so first of all, don't be surprised, but I actually agree with you a lot on a lot of things that you just said. So it really depends on the person, and it really depends on what they want. There are definitely therapists that are just not going, no matter what. You could work in the best atmosphere in you know, a clinic setting, and they're still not going to like it or happy, because they know deep down there's something, or there's a little voice inside of them that's telling them that, like, I could do more, or I want something different for myself. So there are definitely those therapists and personalities that, like, stay true to yourself. And if you have that little gnawing voice at the back of your head at the end of the day, and you really feel that something else is out there for you, then that's a really, really important voice to listen to. Because I think that was like the annoying little voice that was always in the back of my head when I was doing all these really crazy outlandish decisions that like eventually landed me in somewhere where like I feel comfortable now, and I'm really happy to look back and be like, yeah, that was really crappy. That really sucked, but I'm glad I didn't give up, because I stuck with it and I saw what I could do for myself, or push myself. Right.
Right.
So, and that was one of the best things that I had ever learned from my business coach as well. Like I used to get so upset when we would have staff that would leave, and they didn't even leave because they weren't happy. They were leaving for that exact reason. Like they just wanted to try it on their own. They were like, yeah, you guys make it look so easy. I want to go and do it on my own. And that statement used to kill me, because I was like, it is not easy. Like, I'm glad we made it look that way.
It's like, I don't need you. This is easy. I can do it on my own.
Like, okay, you go find out. Come back to me.
I know. I always like waiting like at least a good 6 to 9 months. And I'm like, hey, so how's it going now? But I love hearing their stories. Like if they're doing great or if they're not, like, I'm like, okay, I'm still here. Come talk to me. Like I'll answer anything you want to know. Yeah. But that was the best thing that my business coach said was like, good people will always leave. Like the good ones will always leave. The great ones will always leave first. But it's because of that reason, right? And I'm not saying that other staff that don't leave aren't great, but I'm just saying that there's just that little nagging voice, right?
Yeah.
So, and then when it comes to people that are really happy in like a clinic-based setting, they just might have things that are really important to them that they want to make sure are supported or that they don't want to be able to give up, right? So like, if you have like a need for a steady financial income and you don't want to kind of ride those waves, those ebbs and flows of like really good months of income and then maybe two really bad months and you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Because I have people counting on me or a family counting on me. Oftentimes a clinic space can be a better option because they're doing that more back end stuff, right? You're coming in to do your appointments. And then you get to go home essentially and kind of live your life. And then the business owner is the one that takes it home, and, you know, writes down all the ideas before bed and then dreams about those ideas and then wakes up and is like on Facebook or Instagram or like into their emails at 3 o'clock in the morning. Like that's the whole purpose of being able to work at a clinic and for a clinic is because they're the ones who are using that for you. And that's what your commission is kind of going towards. Now, as far as the things that we do different, I don't know if it's really just stuff that's different because I'm sure lots of clinics are doing this as well. But even with or without like the business coaching, what really, really mattered to me, and my husband works with us as well now, and it's been quite interesting, but what works with us is we just want everyone to feel comfortable and safe, and we want to make it feel as much of a family atmosphere as possible. I know sometimes that can be a little bit harder to kind of come to fruition because like we are a business still and then we have to like manage things. So I can't treat everybody like they're an exact like close relative or family member because you do have to have more of that like non-favoritism attitude when you're at work, right?
Right.
But just making sure like if I have I think more of compassion and empathy is kind of what we lead with. So if we have somebody who's struggling right away, like I don't even ask them if they need time off, I just say, how much do you want? Right. Yeah. So then it's not like that, oh my God, like I work and I only get 2 weeks off a year and I'm so scared to ask for time off. Like these are people. And the thing with massage is that, well, you would know as well, Jordan and Melissa, like when you guys are doing your budgeting, like when you put in your cogs, it's not a massage service or product that you're putting in as a cog. Like it's the person, right? Yeah. Like we're the ones that are doing it. So I think oftentimes business owners can kind of get wrapped up in like the dollar value of what a client is worth and kind of push more on like the client's value. But without that massage therapist, without that person, there is no value being brought in for that client. There is no dollar value. So you have to make sure that your people are happy first and foremost.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing, is just making sure that people are happy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You used a business term there, cog. Do you know what a cog is?
Cost
of goods.
Cost of goods sold. Yeah, there you go. Well done.
I listen to your accounting ramblings now and then.
Why am I even here? Accounting ramblings? That's what they are? Jeez.
Did you say that you hire your RMTs as employees versus contractors?
We do now. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. It's so rare. I saw someone ask recently in one of the Calgary massage Facebook groups, they said, I'm looking to be hired on as an employee, and no one could give recommendations. I recommended one place and they said, no, I tried there. They don't hire employees anymore, only contractors. So I know it's very rare. So I think that's really interesting that you approach it that way.
Yeah. Why have you chosen that model, Kelly?
Biggest thing is like when we ask the people who are being interviewed, like what would you prefer? They are the ones that actually choose it. And so that's how we kind of started. And then now, because it was so popular with the initial way that we were doing it, we just had left it. But people don't want to do their own taxes. Right. People don't want to have to, like, seriously, they want somebody else to take care of it for them. They don't want to do their own taxes at all. They want to make sure that, like, if they're getting it taken off the top somewhere else by the business, then at least they're getting a T4 and they're possibly getting a return back at the end of the year. So I think that, like, that's one of the big ones. Yeah.
Right. But you go ahead.
And then how does it work for, I'm just curious because I've never worked as an employee, only ever as a contractor. Yeah. Do they get a commission based on every massage they do, or it's just a flat amount for the time that they're in the clinic? And then if they don't have a client, if there's a break, are they required to stay and do other tasks like fold laundry? I'm just kind of curious how the business model works because I've never done it before.
Yeah, good question. So ours are a little bit different. We do a blend. We do a flat hourly rate and then still a pretty strong commission. So instead of it looking like a 70-30 split, basically you get an hour rate and then your commission would kind of top that up. So it would be very, very close to like a 65-30 or 70-30 split, depending on how much somebody wanted to work or what, if they wanted to be part full time. Mm-hmm. But in that way, it covers those cancellations and those no shows.
Right.
So that there's some peace of mind there that if a client just ups and like forgets or that spot doesn't fill or anything like that, then they're like, okay, no problem. I'm still making my dollar or my hourly wage. Right. Yeah. And then obviously if they get a client, then there's an incentive to rebook the client again, or like have the client in the first place, because then there's still a commission within that client. So it seems to work really well for our staff. They really love it. I don't know. They all are pretty happy. They all make pretty good money. So I don't know. I don't foresee us changing it anytime in the future, but yeah, sometimes it can be hard to like explain it. That's the biggest thing for like employed work. Cause we'll have people who are like, no, I only wanted to be like, or I was only a contractor before. And then when you kind of explain it and you're like, explain the benefits, all of a sudden you see like this light bulb come on. They're like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, so you mean I don't have to do this, and this anymore? I'm like, no. Oh, but how does scheduling work? And I'm like, well, like we still recommend, you know, where we kind of need somebody to work or where there's like times that clients are more, you know, in demand, like evenings and weekends. But that's another thing that we work with for the staff, is we kind of blend them into more of like an independent contractor in a way of like, we still really care about what they need for a schedule. So then they're still in that like know-how of like kind of picking their hours, and then if they need time off or whatever, I'm like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
As long as it's not tomorrow and you don't have like 5 clients and I'm trying to figure out what to do with it, you know, but in that case, you know, emergencies pop up and we have backup plans for all that stuff. Half the time I just pop in a massage when that happens anyways. But like, it's just really, really comes down to figuring out what the heck they want and what is important to them, and then kind of building that into your clinic model. And then that is what makes a really good working environment. So, and it breaks my heart, honestly. And it's really unfortunate when there are not the best experiences when it comes to more of that like clinic type setting. And that's kind of what I would like to really expand with for Breakthrough Massage Academy, and have kind of this education around why it's really important to kind of avoid that scenario, how it can be detrimental, but not only just for like the therapist, because if you have a bad experience like that as a therapist, that's it, right? Like you're kind of one and done. It has a sour taste in your mouth, and you're really not willing to kind of like open yourself and put yourself out to that again, unless there's another clinic that's like really strong word of mouth and like, you know, recommended by like 5 other people that you know, and they're like, oh my God, you gotta work there. Like that might change somebody's mind. But if you have like a bad working experience, it's likely that you're not going to want to continue working in that type of environment, right? It's kind of like the tipping point to looking at working for yourself. In a way, there's other reasons, but.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. Yeah, I've definitely had my share of clinical experiences that were better than others. But I love that idea of having this kind of base wage, because there's been times when I've been paying for a babysitter for my kids, and I'm at work, and yeah, I have a cancellation or a gap in my day, and it's like I'm doing the calculations in my head, and it's like I'm losing money right now because I'm paying for a babysitter to watch my kids, but I'm not making any money, and so it's so frustrating. So it's really interesting to have kind of basis coverage to help people feel a little bit more comfortable with what they're doing.
I love that reel that you did where it was like, you're shopping. You're like, how many massages would it take me to buy this? I'm like, that's exactly how you think.
Yeah.
Massage therapist. Totally. How many services is this going to cost me?
It's so true.
So it's interesting. Just to kind of summarize. So the way I'm understanding it, the reason why you're the best, and we can say you're the best, it's okay. You don't need to be humble. So the reason why Kelly is the best is because she treats her therapist like family, which I think is so important and something that a lot of, not even just massage businesses, but every business,
yeah, any business can apply that.
Any business is, for the most part, bad at that. Right. And then number two, just giving, like, the fact that you give your employees the option. Do you want to be an employee or do you want to be an independent contractor? I think a lot of massage therapists, they come out of school and they just assume that that's the only option. Right. You have to be an independent contractor. And in most cases, that is the only option because there's, you know, most places don't offer the option to be an employee. And so I love that you're doing that because I think. Yeah, it's just from my experience as the kind of business accounting guy, like I know that it's a point of stress for so many therapists, right? Having to deal with income tax remittances and tracking expenses and doing all of that stuff, which when you think about it, like it's, I mean, it's really not that hard, but I'm sympathetic.
Yeah, it intimidates people.
Yeah, it is, right? For people who don't have a lot of experience in that space. And for a lot of them, they just really need some good training, some good coaching where you show them, okay, it's really not that hard. Yes, you're working as an independent contractor. These are the things you need to be aware of, right? Mm-hmm. And once you give them those tools, then they feel more empowered and they're comfortable. But yeah, I love this model that you've taken and what you're doing. So I find it really interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We do talk a lot about, you know, the benefits of working for yourself, but there are different times in my life where I loved working for a clinic. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes back to what you were saying as far as creating this family atmosphere. And I remember when I got a job, it was down the street when we lived in Bridgeland. And I remember saying, I'm just there to work. I'm just there to, you know, make my money and go home. I'm not there to make friends. But then actually I made some really, really good friends there. Yeah. And having coworkers at that time, because we had just had a baby, like I was just coming off mat leave. And actually, it was really valuable for me to have coworkers and to have even like the receptionist, just to have other people around me was actually a huge morale boost for me at that time. And so being part of a team can be really helpful for a lot of people. And it helped me to learn things for the future, right? Yes. I think if I had right out of the gate worked for myself, I would have been totally lost.
Yeah.
I think having your feet on the ground there and actually watching how things function is really, really important.
Right.
It also was really nice to be able to just go in, do my massages and go home because I had really little kids. Like they were tiny at that time and I didn't have the time to, wake up 3 a.m. and write business notes down. Like, oh, I got to write a newsletter tomorrow or whatever. Like I didn't have time for that. I was already up at 3 a.m. taking care of my babies. Like I didn't have time to do that.
Right.
And so to just be able to go into my work and go home and not stress about all the other things was really important and beneficial for me at that time. And so I think it's important for people to look at their life scenario and what fits in best for them at that time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really, really good point. Because like, if you're honestly, like, if I had a grad in front of me right now and they were like, I don't know where I want to work, I would say go and work for somebody first. Mm-hmm. Like, you can eventually work for yourself at any given point in time. Just go and work for yourself first. Because the first thing is that you need to get your foot in the door. You need to get your name known. You need to get some confidence going if you want to work on that skill set. But if you're looking for a somewhat consistent or fairly consistent or you know, a really good paycheck, like, clinics are more likely where you're going to get that at. And it depends on the clinic structure as well. And it depends on a lot of like variables, I should say, like, you know, location and like how busy the clinic is or how many therapists are. And there's a lot of different things, but that you'll more likely have quicker satisfaction in at least just like the paycheck area if you're going to work for somebody else. Because alternatively, like you said, it's not impossible, but like the amount of time that you think that it's going to take you to build clientele, like multiply that by 3. And that's probably more accurate in the amount of time that it's going to take you to build the full-time clientele. And then that's where you're eventually seeing like the really good return and working for yourself and all the positive benefits and having like the higher paycheck and the take home and all that stuff. But you know, a lot of the times, that might be the case for therapists. Like we've had people come in and interview and I'll say, Kate, in 5 years, where do you want to be? And they say, this is where I want to be. And it's in that, like, I want to work for myself. I want to have a home based business or something like that. And then when they work with us, they're like, oh crap, guys do a lot of stuff. Like, yeah, we do a lot of stuff. Right. And then, you know, it doesn't necessarily change their mind, but at least changes their perspective. And then they're like, do I really want to work for myself? Yeah. And if I do, what do I want that to look like? And how can I make that easier for myself? Or like, what would I kind of maybe let go of so I'm not so stressed, you know? So it just gives you more perspective, I think.
Yeah, I love that. Just thinking about job interviews that I've been in where I've said, when they ask me, where do you want to be in 5 years? And my response is, not here.
I can't believe you actually said that in a job interview.
I've said that numerous times.
Just recently, didn't you?
Yeah, I say that all the time, right?
And because, what do they say? They're just like, oh, okay.
Well, I think...
throw your resume into the garbage right in front of you.
Put a 110 on your resume there. That means no.
I think it's good to be... I always think it's good to be honest, right? And I always tell these, because, you know, Melissa and I, we have multiple businesses that we run and that we operate, and I work as a full-time accountant during the day. Not so much right now, I'm just in between jobs, and that's why I've been interviewing for jobs. But they always ask me, like, where do you want to be in 5 years? And my response is, you know what, I have multiple businesses that I operate. My ideal scenario is to be working for myself and not here, right? And I think in most cases, they appreciate that, because a lot of companies, you know, they're set up in such a way that they want people, you know, they want to build a succession plan. They want somebody that's just going to come in as a senior accountant. And, you know, in 2 years, that person's going to move into the controller position and then VP of finance and then CFO. And so for some companies, they want to know that. But then for other companies, you know, they appreciate that I come in and say, hey, I want to be a senior accountant, just work as a CPA. I don't want to be a controller. I don't want to manage people. I just want to do my boring, mundane accounting work and then go home at the end of the day and work on building this dream for myself. And so I think it's good for therapists to be honest, right? For them to come in and say, hey, I've heard great things about this business. You know, I Breakthrough Massage Academy. I want to work for you. But my goal is to work for myself in 5 years. And it's been interesting just watching Melissa, her progression over the last 13 years, because you've been massage therapist for roughly about the same amount of time. Right. And I think the best education is to work at a clinic, to work at a spa, to work at different places. Right. I don't know that you would have been as successful if you had just started. I mean, maybe you would have, but I think it would have been, it would have been, the learning curve would have been so much steeper. It would have been so much harder, right? But you know, to your point, Kelly, these therapists come into these clinics, you know, where they work for you, and then they start to realize, wow, you actually do a lot, right? There's a lot of stuff that you have to do, but it's good for them to be able to make note of that so that if they're serious about venturing out on their own, they know that, okay, I have to deal with direct billing. If I'm going to be hiring people, okay, do I want to hire people as employees or as independent contractors? Like, what are the complexities from an accounting standpoint that I need to know to be able to manage that? And there's just all these things that they need to be aware of. And we're completely ignorant to those things until we actually get our feet wet and start working at a place. And so, yeah, I think interesting.
Yeah,
definitely. I had no idea about like workplace culture or like, you know, personal growth and personal development now is like a pretty big like buzzword. But like when I first started working with people, I was like, I didn't know what I had to kind of like broaden my mind to figure out how other people don't think like me. Like everyone should just like think the same way, you know, like it's so not true. Yeah. And everyone learns different ways. And some people that like, you know, sometimes it would just be more of like, you know, not in the way I said it, but how I said it type of thing, or like not in the way you said it, but the tone in which you said it type of thing. Right. So kind of educating yourself as a business owner and understanding those nuances a little bit and like how other people pick up on those things, like those types of, more personal development aspects and like just really caring about like clinic culture, workplace culture, whatever you want to call it. But the positivity aspect, because it really, when you're working with a lot of, more than one personality, even if you're working with people, it comes down to the way people treat each other and the respect that is kind of like sought after in a clinic. Like it's kind of like that little give and take back and forth. And if there's a lot of take and not a lot of give from the other side, like people are kind of, they're going to start being unhappy. And then that's generally, you know, somebody could really love the place that they work, but if it's a toxic work environment in the way of like a personality is just like the one kind of dragging down the team, you're going to see the good people leave because they're going to be like, well, you're not doing anything about this personality, or, you know, nothing is changing and I'm unhappy. Not that I don't love my place, but I don't want to come to work and feel negative. So right. In that aspect, like learning those things, like, man, I never even thought about that before opening the clinic. And now, you know, years later, we've kind of really, you know, taken on more education in that area, which has been really and great for us and stuff. But like, if you would have told me when I started thinking about owning a business that you kind of had to do that, I maybe would have changed my career path and not room rented right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Don't know. I would hope maybe I wouldn't have done that. I don't know. Your stubbornness maybe would have still pushed me in that direction. Yeah.
Man, Kelly, I have so many questions for you. I feel like we could talk for hours. Maybe we need to do like a multi-part series, but I'm just, so here you're talking about toxic people and managing people, because that's such an important part of building a good culture. What do you do with people who are toxic and are dragging the rest of the team down? Do you fire them or do you help coach them and help kind of, you just fire them?
No.
She's like, look, they're gone.
You're out of here.
It's that 3-second delay. I was shaking my head the other way. No. Our approach, our first thing is like, if something's not working, you go to the source and you figure out why it's not working. Not even like, why are you not doing this? It's like, what is preventing you from making this happen? Like, what is kind of the roadblock there? So talking is number one. We go through so many steps. A lot of it is like coaching in the beginning and then more coaching and then more coaching and then kind of trickling down to more of that employment-based, like verbal warning, and then talking about like written warning, and stuff like that. So we really, the focus is like in the coaching itself. We never want to let somebody go if it's a fixable problem, like if it's, you know, if it's detrimental and somebody stole something, like that's different, right? Yeah, but if it's something that's more of like, you're unhappy, we're seeing this, the clients are commenting this in their last appointment, like, something's going on here, lay it all on the table for us and like let us in, let us figure it out. And not everybody as a employee is super comfortable in the beginning or even at all like that. So you kind of have to, again, learn different personalities, how to talk to different people, what, in what areas some people might be reserved, what ways that people respond or what questions help people respond better or open up better, or feel a little bit more communicative. But it, again, just comes down to just figuring out exactly what the root cause of the problem is. Because it could be something super small, and it could be something not even about work. It's like, you know, I got in an argument with my teenager before they went off to school this morning, and it really, you know, just kind of steamrolled my entire week, and this is kind of what's going on. Or it could be something larger than that, right? And it's not like they have to let us in on the true full scale of it if it's, like, very private, because we also don't want to pick in private. I want to know the answer, right? Like, the way that they're showing up is not the energy that we need for the team, and the team is noticing. So like, let's figure out how at least all of us can figure out how to manage together better as a team.
Right.
Because then if they're happy, then the clients are happy, and then everybody's happy. So
I love that. Yeah. So unlike me, you've taken a very human approach to this problem, right? Let's let's help this person. Let's try to understand what the issue is, as opposed to just like, you're out of here.
Get out of there. Yeah. Yeah, you bet.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I guess my last question is, if someone is in a clinic and they're unhappy, because a lot of what you do is kind of from the top down, right? Like how you help everyone from the like down. But what if I'm at a clinic and I'm unhappy? Are there any things that I can do to make my work environment better? Or is it one of those things that's like, you just need to find a better place to work? Do you have any recommendations for our listeners if they're at a place and they're just not feeling it?
Yeah. Cause sorry to cut you off. Just cause most of our listeners, I imagine most of our listeners are massage therapists and not clinic owners.
Right.
Right. And so
Like, are there things they can do to make their experience better? Because I hear so many complaints of people at clinics and they're just not having a good time. And it's like, what can they do to make their clinical experience better instead of just jumping ship? Or maybe jumping ship is needed. I don't know.
Yeah. That's a good question. So, it might be hard to give like a full complete answer. It would be very situational. It would depend on like what is going on with that massage therapist or that person, or like what their working environment looks like. Like you would hope that the clinic environment or wherever they're at is open to kind of like that feedback. Not all the time. Our managers and owners open to feedback?
Right.
So that one can be a little hard to answer, but I think the best way that I would say, first off, you have to think about yourself and like why you like working there in the first place. If you can start thinking like, yeah, you know, ultimately I really like it because of these things, and it's just this one little thing, or maybe these two little things that's kind of what's bothering me right now, then look at those like couple things and ask yourself, is this fixable and is this something that I want to fix? Because if it is, and it's just like, oh yeah, that's super frustrating, but if I ask you, well, that, yeah, that sounds frustrating, but have you ever brought that up to the person in power? Have you ever brought that up? And if you say no, then that maybe is where the conversation should begin.
Yeah.
And where the conversation should start is like, if you have a working relationship with your employer or your boss or your manager or whoever, it should be enough of an open relationship to be like, hey, you know what? I've worked here for X amount of months or X amount of years. I love it here, except for this. This is my problem. Like, can you help me with this problem? Not even coming to them and being like, I want you to fix it right now. Like, I'm going to put this problem down on the table and I'm expecting an answer, right? Because as soon as like a manager is going to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, I had no idea what that problem was. And then they're going to feel like kind of accosted and rebuttal. And like what happens is like they feel a little bit kind of thrown up against the wall and their backs are raised. It's kind of like a cat, right? You're just like, God, like I'm a little bit worried. The cat's raising its hair in the back of its head and stuff like that. So don't do that, but at least come to them and say, you know what? Is this a fixable problem? Because this is what I'm having. And then I think, you know, depending on what type of open communication kind of spawns from that, maybe that would be a better indication as to kind of the answer that somebody's looking for. If it turns out in favor of the therapist and they're surprised that they're actually getting some feedback, or, you know, management says, you know what, I don't have an answer for you now, but let me think about it. Let me get back to you in like 2 or 3 days. Let me really put some thought into this. At least then, you know, you've said it, you've said your piece, and you've had that information received on the other end, that they're actually listening to you and they care enough to think about it, right? Mm-hmm. And if not, and I really hope that that's not the case, but if somebody's like, no, I can't do that for you, and they're really, you know, kind of like shut off from the problem or not willing to work with you, then maybe that's, again, another indicator, kind of like an extra answer of like, okay, well, that's, you know, it was a simple problem. I thought it was a simple fix. So if a simple problem, a simple fix isn't going to come out of this, then what happens if I have a bigger problem or a harder fix, you know?
Right.
And then I don't ever want to tell someone just flat out quit your job. Don't do that if that's not what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying. But like, get a conversation started with the people that are supposed to have your back, right? So.
Well, and Kelly, it goes back to what we talked about at the very beginning, you know, confidence. A lot of therapists, you know, lack the confidence to have those difficult conversations. What you have a picture of a guy behind you going to bat, right? Like, people need to go to bat for themselves and say, hey, I'm not happy. There's an issue here, right? You got the baseball thing there behind you, right? And I think
I'm glad my husband's not listening. He
would
be like, Jordan, you don't know who that is.
I have
it's like baseball thing. How dare you just
what
think?
Sport is that? I've never
who is that?
Who is that? What is that game they're playing?
For everybody that's listening, my husband's got this wall of Toronto Blue Jays memorabilia behind me. So that's what you can see is like previous Blue Jays batters and stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of and not just therapists, a lot of people in general lack the confidence to go to bat for themselves, right? And it's kind of two-pronged, right? You've created a space, a clinic space, where your therapists are going to feel comfortable bringing issues to you because you're a good manager, because you've helped them feel like family, right? And so the clinic has a responsibility to their therapist so that they feel comfortable bringing up those issues. But the therapists also need to, you know, develop the confidence to bring these issues when they have them, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not happy about something, let's talk about it and see if there's a way that we can fix this. As opposed to just like complaining on a Facebook group, no, I'm so unhappy.
Yeah. Well, that's not going to fix your problem.
What have you done to resolve this or to fix this problem?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes it's not confidence. Sometimes I think it is a lot of confidence, but sometimes it's just like the feeling of being uncomfortable or like the feeling of saying what's really bothering them and then getting rejected.
Totally.
And sometimes that can be really hard.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're just people pleasers, right? We don't want to make someone else feel bad or like create drama, things like that. So it can be challenging for sure.
Yeah.
And maybe that's when like a coach or someone would come into play if you need help, you know, resolving are making these big decisions, like, should I stay? Should I go? Sometimes having a coach or like someone to assist them is helpful. And so mm-hmm. do you have any resources that you want to tell our listeners about that would maybe be helpful for them either on this topic or on any other topics? Like how can people find out more information from you? Cause I know your business of the Massage Academy, and then what's your clinic name in Lethbridge?
Four Elements Wellness Clinic.
Four Elements. Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Mm-hmm. To your question. Sorry. I'm like drawing a blank now. yes, I do have some resources that would be good. I like to do a lot of webinars, and I do free mentorship every month. So what I've started kind of back in May or June is free massage mentorship 2 or 3 times a month. I go live on Wednesdays. The schedule is on the link. And then I just talk about these topics. And when people are coming in to the group as well, then there's Q&A afterwards too. So you can come in, you know, I kind of try to keep it short, somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes at most. And then it goes on as a recording. So within a day or two, I mean, I've gotten kind of faster at it. It used to say 3 days, but now I've gotten a bit better at like doing the recording and then getting it faster up onto the actual mentorship page. But then you get a recording. So then you can still go back and look. So we've got already a couple of weeks of recordings on there talking about things like this, talking about how to deal with difficult clients, talking about, you know, startup mistakes I made as a massage therapist, how to get busy in the summer. And then I like to do a lot of webinars. So I actually have a webinar coming up for dealing with short-term, sudden, and long-term absences that you might have to take in your clinic, like how to prepare for those, and then how to think like a client. And that's kind of like the missing piece to like a treatment plan, or even like getting them to your website, or like how to create your website a little bit better so that you can think like a client instead of thinking like the therapist. Like, I just want all these things on the page and I want it to look like this, you know. And you have a client go there and they're like reading, they're like, what is Thalasso therapy? Or, you know, they just like, they don't know any, you know, those types of textual terms. So how to think like a client is another webinar that's coming up in a few weeks too. So
right,
that's awesome. And your website is massagecec.com or .ca?
.com.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. So we'll put everything in the show notes for people too, if they want to click on those links to find out more information. So,
how has that been received? Those webinars, has it been good? Has it been successful?
There's good. Actually, there's another revolving one on there if anyone's interested, but I did a Future Proof Your Massage Practice for 2023, kind of talking about like the increased pricing and all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so those ones have been done really good. Cause I think that's like a couple of the biggest pain points that have been happening this year, like understanding like clients to get them in the door, get them rebooking, but then like understanding how to manage your practice when there's outside factors going on that you can't control, like inflation.
Right.
Because that can be really hard too on a client's pocket, right? Which then is hard on our business. So.
Right.
Yeah. I love that. This is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. It seems like you have life figured out, Kelly.
No. You should have seen me 10 minutes before the podcast. Like I said, that's why I'm hiding in my basement in a corner while my kids are being put to sleep. Yeah. Like, there's still so many aspects of life that we have yet to figure out. So
it's a juggle. It's always a juggle.
Well, and I think that's, you know, it's important for people to recognize that. I think a lot of people, they look at, you know, what you're doing and what we're doing, and they assume that we have everything figured out and that life is blissful and that we have no problems, but there are, you know, challenges and problems that we're working through constantly. And I'm grateful for those challenges because that's how we learn and grow, but it's not all, you know, sunshine and roses and all that stuff. It is good. Like, it is good. I'm not complaining, but it is hard. So
definitely.
I think it's great what you're doing. And yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Yeah, I've really enjoyed talking with you, Kelly. Hopefully you don't regret coming on the podcast. Maybe we can do it again soon. We'll see.
I'd love to come back if you guys would love to have me. So this is fun.
We have family down in Lethbridge. So we'll have to, next time we're down there,
we'll come get a massage from your clinic.
So you should secret shop us, actually. Just don't even tell me that you're coming.
It's on my wig.
Yeah.
I put on a disguise.
Oh,
no, that'd be awesome.
Well, this has been fun. Thank you so much, Kelly, for being here. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to stay in touch, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We've included the links to these in the show notes. Also, be sure to check out our website, onlinewellness.ca, if you need any continuing education credits. All of our courses have been approved by massage associations across Canada. Anyways, we'll catch you next time.